Amen. Thank you so much, Brother James, and then Cordell on the piano. Take your little book. Oh, you don't have a booklet yet. The ushers have come forward. They're going to give you a little booklet. I'm going to use this little booklet as a segue into my message in just a moment in the book of Romans. Now, understand something about the little booklet. It kind of reviews some things that are core principles and values, but also is going to talk about an emphasis that I am planning for our church in 2020. There's a little introductory letter from me in the beginning of our booklet here, but I want to notice the second paragraph down into that as you're receiving a booklet. I've written these words: a new church building is not the most important thing happening in 2020. I want everyone to pay attention to what I just said. It is a wonderful thing. It's an exciting thing. We'll have a new church campus. It will be expanded. That is not the most important thing that is happening. From the beginning of that building program, I have talked about the fact that we cannot lose our vision. We cannot lose what the Lord has placed us here to do. And it is not to build buildings. We know that. It is to evangelize. So that's not the most important thing. I've sensed a need for us to expand and intensify our evangelistic efforts in the community and around the world. So we're going to be announcing some things that are going to do just that. Reaching people for Christ is the single most important thing that this church does. Let me say it again. Reaching people for Christ is the single most important thing that this church does. Buildings will fade away, but the souls of men and women will live somewhere forever. So how are we going to do these things? We're not going to change our core principles or our values or our mission. We're not doing that. It makes no sense to have core principles but change them every year. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to maintain those things, but we're going to intensify some other areas that I want to place an emphasis on. So you know our mission already. It's to proclaim the gospel, to deepen believers, that is, in relationship with Christ and with others, learning scripture. We're going to continue, of course, doing that. To equip volunteers for effective Christian service, we're going to do that and more intensely. We did a lot of that, by the way, yesterday in our mentorship program that went on here. Let me mention that if you weren't part of the mentorship program, there is something for everyone. I'm doing a general session for men. Dee Tidball is doing a general session for ladies, but then there's something for everybody else. And if you don't know what that is, speak to me and one of the pastors. A way to be trained and just a way to be a better person. One of the motivations of my doing a men's leadership course is this. In the last few months, I've had a number of people who wanted me to do one-on-one discipleship with them, okay? A church this size and as busy a schedule as I have, that is absolutely impossible, period. It's impossible. But I can put together a small group setting, which is what I've done on Saturdays, a small group setting to meet that need. And so it's just not a huge group of men, but just a small group of men, and it's more conversational in nature, though I'm teaching some really good principles. So if you're a man and you say, you know, I want a discipleship principle, or maybe I want to get to know the pastor better, or maybe I just have questions that I'd like to ask him but don't have an opportunity, then by all means, come to that on Saturday mornings as we're announcing it. We're planning on it this coming Saturday. That may change depending on the funeral arrangements for Vivian Johnson. So keep your ear to the rail. Make sure that you receive emails from the church and calls, the one call. Make sure your number is on there. So we're going to proclaim the gospel. I'll hit that more in a minute. We're going to deepen believers. We're going to equip volunteers. And then our goal is to serve others, both in the church and in our community. Okay, what are the values by which we're going to do that? Number one, we're committed to evangelism. In a moment, you're going to see some additional evangelistic opportunities. I'm going to add to those opportunities throughout the course of the year as well. And so I want to make sure that we understand that is our main focus. Lost people matter to God. The reason after you get saved that you don't get taken up to heaven that moment is because you are tasked with the preaching of the gospel, both to friends, neighbors, co-workers, whoever it may be, and complete strangers. That is going to be a strong emphasis this coming year. We also believe that we're grounded in grace, meaning that we have dependence on the goodness and grace of God. We cannot do these things in the power of our own flesh. We can do them by the grace of God. Now, next one over, biblically based. Folks, listen. This book is our sole authority. I want to make something very, very clear, and I will make this abundantly clear in the message. The truth of this book is the only thing that can help. It's the only answer. I'm never going to buy into this cultural toleration thing that says there's something good about everything. No, there's not. It's not good to muddy the water. Faith Baptist Church will always, by the grace of God, preach clearly and directly from the Bible. Listen to what I'm going to say. Even when it offends the culture. By the way, I have not changed. I've been here 22 years. I have not changed my positions. The culture has changed. And I refuse, this is not the sermon, but it could be. I refuse to get on the culture bus. Does everybody hear what I'm saying? I refuse to do it. And whatever that means to you, if it's offensive to you, get used to it or leave, because it's going to continue. It will be the preaching of the Bible. That's what we're here for, folks. I'm not here to put on a show. I'm not here to pass out pop psychology to you. I'm not here to tickle your ears and entertain you. I'm here to preach precisely what God has said. So that will continue. We're going to be creative and innovative. Fundamental people always have been. We were the leaders in radio when that medium first came out. We were the leaders in television when that first came out. We're trying as a church to use technologies that are really beyond my understanding to reach more people and hundreds of people who will not darken the doors of this church will this week be touched by those technology outreach ministries, sermon audio, things like that. And we're going to continue to do that. We're going to remain fully devoted to Christ. Success is by our ability to make disciples, and we want people to grow. That's one of the reasons that we're offering our mentorship program. It is an opportunity for you to grow. Through the course of the year, there will be multiple opportunities that will be given to you, and keep your ear to the rail, and then do this. Take advantage of the things that are offered. In addition, the last one, passionate about prayer. Some of you have noticed that our prayer meeting service, we changed it a little bit on Wednesday night. You will still have your Bible study, but we have truncated the service slightly to eliminate some of the singing and some of the fluff right beforehand. I'll give the Bible study, but then we're giving a concentrated time on Wednesday night for prayer. And those of you who attend, you've noticed that the last couple Wednesday nights. I want to encourage you to be part of that prayer meeting time. The method or the way that we approach the prayer time will differ from week to week, but I think it's vital for our church to be part and involved in that. The FBI Sunday School class, they have a prayer meeting. I think it's this coming Monday. That's a good thing. There's a ladies' prayer meeting regularly on Monday mornings. There's all kinds of opportunity for prayer, but I think corporately as a church, I want to have more emphasis on prayer than we've ever had because, frankly, we are more dependent upon God than we've ever been. And we need to be that way from what we're facing in this world. So we're passionate about prayer. What are some of the events? Okay, number one, in evangelism, our monthly Go and Tell events, you can see some dates. By the way, there'll be calendars, complete church calendars, printed calendars. I love a printed calendar. I don't like an electronic calendar, but I love a printed calendar. We're going to pass that out. Not pass it out. You can pick them up in the lobbies after the service this morning, so you have a calendar. There's a monthly Go and Tell events. Now, those are not the only events. You'll notice we have, number two, community outreach events in four of those months, and I am going to be adding to that a number of just evangelism events on Saturday mornings. Okay, those will be announced in advance, but I'm going to add to that. This is what is on the calendar, but it's my intention to keep us very busy on Saturdays because we all have an hour or two that we can give to the Lord. And so I want us to understand that is where we're going with that. We're going to strengthen and our bus ministry outreach. We want to strengthen the attendance on that. And all of us working together can help to do that. So the monthly Go and Tell events, community involvement events, some of you are familiar with these that we've been doing. Those are a way to get the church name out in the community. We're going to have on February 16th, special Sunday. I love my church Sunday. What is all that about? Okay, that's about you love your church enough to invite somebody to come to it. Okay, I promise I won't be embarrassing. I'll behave myself on that Sunday, okay? But I would encourage you. I love my church Sunday. We're also going to have Friends Sunday. That is in the fall time. That's another, by the way, outreach event because the gospel will be plainly preached. And we'll give details about this. We're planning to have our fall festival. Now, why so late in October? Here's why. We want to make sure we can do it at the new building, okay? And we so far have had no construction delays, but you never know. So we're shooting for September to be in the building, but it may be a little bit after that. The good thing about it is this. Pastor, what if we have inclement weather at the end of October? Here's the good thing. We have a gym. We have a gym. We can move all of that inside. And we'll plan for inside, outside, but depending on the weather, that's what we'll do. How are we going to deepen people? Okay, there is a couples retreat. Now, I need to mention this. The couples retreat is for my Sunday school class, the Better Together class. But if we have openings, because we're limited in the numbers we can have, then I'll announce that in church. But we're doing a couples retreat this year. I may do a church-wide retreat next year, depending on how this one goes. So a couples retreat. Morning meditations, of course, you can get devotional resources emailed to you. Young adults small group, that meets on Wednesday nights over in the other building across the way, and will eventually have its own room in the new building. And then a monthly Monday prayer group. This is sponsored by the FBI class. Those are all things that will help to deepen us, okay? Equipping us, okay? Mentorship initiative. You can see the dates on that. And again, those might be flexible either due to weather or the possibility of a funeral. We're doing our 2020 vision sacrifice offering. That is coming up. We'll talk a lot more about that. That is the money that we're committing specifically to the building program. So that we can see that prosper and continue to prosper. The Planning Center, that is further implement and refine a system to streamline and process child check-in, guest follow-up, class attendance, member database, and online giving. We're always trying to find the most efficient way to deal with records keeping. Part of that is very important because of the children in our church. We want to keep track of them. Most of you who have been here a long time know the new building has a very secure children's wing. That is all that I wanted. I didn't care about anything else. I wanted a very secure children's wing. And so that planning center will help us with that. A new website will be up and available, and you can check on that. FaithBaptistChurch.com. Isn't that cool? And it only costs $300,000 to get... No, just kidding. I don't know how we got that address, faithbaptistchurch.com. How in the world was that still available? It was... You got to know people. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. So, and of course, the old website address will direct you to the new website address, and I'm not going to talk about it because I don't know about it. Of course, our new church home is coming up as well to serve. Now, listen carefully. You'll notice we tried this one time before, and there was a little bit of an uprising and some problems with the government. I am planning to take a missions trip to Nicaragua. Pastor Ogden... Where's Pastor Ogden? He went somewhere. He had to do something. Pastor Ogden is my point man regarding the details of this. As soon as we get solid details, we're going to let you know how that's going to work. I will be teaching that week at Global Bible University, and you will be there on the campus of Global Bible doing missions work and other things. But we do have the dates, so mark down the dates, and details will be forthcoming very soon. Of course, on Saturdays, we minister the first Saturday of the month at Good News Ministries. You know about that. And then our Bus Family Christmas Banquet is, of course, an annual event, and it is an outreach event. So what I'm asking you to do is participate. That is a skeletal outline of what's happening, but there is much more to come. And you say, preacher, why are you so intent on all of this? Because your Bibles are open to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. One of the burdens that I have as a pastor is to reach my community. But listen carefully to what I'm going to say. I am not seeking to reach my community as merely a community service organization planting trees. I'm not seeking to reach my community simply because Faith Baptist Church has a lot of nice people in it, and other people should come get to know our nice people because we are nice people. Now, honestly, if you weren't nice people, I would not have hung out with you for the past 22 years, okay? So you are nice people. But my goal is not to bring others simply to hang out with nice people. My goal is not even to be an influence in the community from strictly a moral or political sense. My goal ultimately is to love our community enough to tell them the truth. I want everybody to listen to what I'm saying right now. The idea of churches who are backing up on the message, or who are softening the message to conform to the ridiculousness of our culture. And folks, it has gone to the ridiculous extreme. That tendency will not dwell at Faith Baptist Church. I need it to be so that when people walk through the doors of this place, they are hearing the unvarnished, undiluted truth from the Word of God. And anything less than that, and I love this word, anything less than that is pusillanimous when it comes to loving my community. Because quite frankly, folks, one of the measurements of my love is telling people the truth. It is not easy to hear. It is not pleasant to hear, but it is absolutely necessary. We must love our community enough to tell them the truth. Lying to them is not love. It is manipulation and it is capitulation. And that is why I emphasized a moment ago the Bible preaching ministry of our church. Your Bible is open to Romans 1. Look at verse number 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. Now, these are people, remember last week, who had rejected the knowledge of God that they had. They turned the truth of God into a lie. They twisted it around. They rejected truth. God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. These people, verse 25, are those who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. What is this talking about? It's talking about what happens when a society, when a church, or when an individual rejects God's truth. There are several things we need to tell people about, and we need to be clear. Now listen carefully. We need to be crystal clear. It's a little bit difficult to convey a hard-nosed message. Do you know why? People misrepresent what I say. That is an occupational hazard. I think that most people who do misrepresent what I say do so purposely. That cannot be avoided. I don't do any social media for that reason, because anything that I say can and will be used against me. So I just stay off of all social media. But I understand also that it's possible for people to take snippets of what I say in the pulpit and twist and change them. Listen, congregation, I cannot help that from happening. But what I will not do is moderate my message so that it is so milquetoast that nobody possibly could be offended. The truth of the matter is this: if you read the Bible enough, if you listen to biblically based preaching enough, you may well be offended. Pastor Monty, what should I do? Get right and get over it. That's exactly what you should do. But Pastor Monty, my feelings were hurt. No one can hurt your feelings unless you allow it. Now back to the scripture. So the Bible says of these in verse 25, they changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. What is the truth about which we're going to speak, have always spoken, and will continue to speak this year? Number one, we're going to talk about the truth of God's wrath. The Bible says this, that God is a God of wrath. In verse number 18 of the same chapter, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. We're going to talk about God's wrath. It's interesting, though, when someone says the wrath of God, they think immediately, Pastor Monty, you're going to preach a bunch of hellfire and damnation sermons that are going to hold people over the fiery pit. Well, yes, that's part of my plan. But there's more to it than that. The passage we read in our scripture reading, Romans 1, beginning at verse number 24, really describes two different kinds of God's wrath. We're very interested and concerned about God's active wrath. We think about that as God's immediate judgment or his eternal punishment. We think about it as that moment when God says, as an angry parent, don't raise your hands. Have you ever been an angry parent? Pastor Monty, you should never discipline out of anger. What? There's not a person in this room who's honest who would say they weren't a little miffed when they had to discipline. Okay, you were. Now being miffed should not drive discipline over lines. Understand what I'm saying. But there is such a thing as legitimately becoming angry. God does that sometimes. In both the Old and the New Testament, you read about things where God has had enough. And God judges. And we think sometimes of the wrath of God. We think of it as the fire that fell in the Old Testament time, boom, and consumed them. And while certainly that is true, that is the active wrath of God, there is a second kind of wrath that I think is addressed in this passage. And we don't often consider it because we're so focused on hellfire and damnation, which is a good focus. But look at verse number 24. It says in verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. In verse number 24, it begins to explain how it is revealed. Look at verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. Note the words, God gave them up. It doesn't talk about fire falling from heaven, but rather it says God gave them up. In verse 26, the same words are used. God gave them up. And in verse 28, the same words, similar words, pardon me, God gave them over. So, Pastor, what is that? It is not the active wrath of God where fire is falling from heaven. Someone said, Pastor, America is so wicked. Today is Right to Life Sunday. And one of our national sins is the sin of abortion. And someone said, we have killed babies by the hundreds of thousands since Roe v. Wade. America is wicked. Yes, we are a wicked nation. And someone gets frustrated and they say, Pastor, why is it that with the wickedness of America that the wrath of God has not fallen from heaven? Let me let you in on a little secret. It has. But it's not the wrath that you were expecting. It is the wrath of God turning over a society. It is the wrath, and there are evidences of this, and Romans 1 is going to address this in detail. It is the wrath of God giving up on a people. Now listen to what I'm saying carefully. I am not saying that God gives up on an individual, but God does give that person over to his own desires. God often lets an individual who has rejected his truth, and that is the concept here, who has rejected his truth, who has said no to him, God often lets that person go in a direction that the wrath of God will appear in the consequences that are following. I think it is no exaggeration for me to say that our society is definitely headed in that direction. It is a passive wrath. Passive wrath is God's allowing man to enter the corruption of sin and then suffer all of its consequences. Passive wrath, where God gives them up or gives them over, begins with rejecting the truth. We covered that last time in the progression, downward progression of truth rejection. Passive wrath is a progression, so it goes through stages. It doesn't happen immediately. We sometimes want just, boom, fire to fall. There's some politicians, I'm not going to get into their names, but there's a few politicians. If fire fell, I'd be happy. And you know who they are. I'm not going to go into that. It hasn't yet because she delivered the impeachment. But anyway, passive wrath is progression, okay? It is step-by-step progression. That's what passive wrath is. You don't see it all the time. Passive wrath begins with rejecting the truth. Passive wrath is progression. Passive wrath allows for deeper corruption and then more severe consequences. Pastor, why isn't the nation going to be judged? We are being judged. We are. But the deepening of this, you say, well, how bad can it get? I don't know how bad it can get. But the deepening of this will deepen the consequences of God's passive wrath. Passive wrath, in my opinion, is the most fearful condition of man on this earth because it means man has been left to his own devices as God gives up on him. Men left to their own devices come to ruin. And it may not happen instantly. And it may not happen with a spectacular car crash or fire from heaven or some big event in the life that is designed perhaps to wake one up. Sometimes that happens. But oftentimes it is an erosion of everything that is meaningful and valuable until there is nothing left. It is the most dire form of wrath, and that is abandonment by God. I will continue to tell the truth about God's wrath. Number two, let us go into something that you could go ahead and misrepresent. I will tell you the truth about multiculturalism. Look at verse 25. These who rejected the truth of God, according to Scripture, they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Look at me. Multiculturalism. By that I am stating it is illegitimate to place our stamp of approval on every other cultural belief, no matter how sincerely held. Now, I am for good things that come from other cultures. I am an Italian. I love being Italian. It justifies my obnoxiousness. I can just tell people, oh, I'm loudmouthed because I am an Italian. I love that. I'm expressive. I'm emotional. I'm passionate. I'm an Italian. And I can just say whatever I want and blame it on my grandparents. Actually, that's illegitimate too. But the truth of the matter is I'm Italian. You know what we brought over here? I think we brought this over. Spaghetti. And if we didn't bring spaghetti, we sure brought pizza. And if we didn't bring pizza, we brought stromboli. And if we didn't bring stromboli, we bought cannolis. Whatever it is. All that good stuff, okay? We brought that here. I'm in favor of that. If your cultural background has something great to share, the Norwegians, pickled herring. What a huge blessing to this land. Huge, wonderful, wonderful blessing. So healthy, so wonderful, so good. I'm for that. I'm for that. Do you want to know what I'm not for? I'm not for the Muslim faith. I'm not in favor of Islam. Pastor Monty, what if somebody is sincere? They are sincerely wrong. And I'm not going to pretend that there's something good about a faith that has the fingerprints of Satan, that was spawned in the pit of hell, and that leads many millions of people to a Christless eternity burning in the pit. I hope you understood what I just said. Now, I'm going to love them. By the way, let us grow a brain for a minute. To disagree and dislike someone's belief system does not mean that you dislike them. I have a heart and a burden and a love for those people, but I will not give quarter for 5 seconds to a religious system that is inspired by Satan and takes people to hell and destroys life in this world as it is. And I think some of the softies out there who are afraid to be that clear, fear to be that clear, because after all, Pastor Monty, you know, there are organizations in our cities and in our communities and in our county that don't want to hear that kind of message. There are mind control groups that don't want to hear that kind of message. Years ago, I was confronted by the Hendricks County Council for Diversity. What a joke. And they came after me over something I had preached in this church. And my immediate question was, well, just because my opinion differs from yours, isn't it diversity to have a variety of opinions within the county? I mean, you're diversity, and I'm offering diversity, and now you're condemning my diversity, but you're the diversity council. And the lady who came to me, she said, well, I do struggle with that. It's because you are engaging in mind control, not genuine diversity. The idea that we would endorse something that is patently false should be something that we would flee from. If I were to fail to preach clear and precise truth, I could lead people the wrong direction. A lie, by the way, according to verse number 25, always focuses the attention on the creation and away from God. And that is fundamentally the truth. It focuses the attention on the earth and away from heaven. Pastor Mati, as a church, we need to have an outreach where we do things to clean up the environment so that we can prevent global warming. What? Okay, let me do this for you. I'm going to help you right now. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis 8. This is not part of the sermon. It just came to my brain. Genesis 8. This is where it gets good. The unplanned remarks. Pastor Mati, do you believe that the church has a biblical and social obligation to fix climate change? Nope. I don't even believe in climate change. By the way, if this nice winter that we've had up until today, if this nice winter is really a result of climate change, because it's been nice, hasn't it? If this nice winter is really a result of climate change, bring it on, baby. He said, Pastor Mati, Florida is going to be covered with water. Well, then move to the next state up and buy beachfront property. There you go. But that's not going to happen. Do you know why that's not going to happen? Do you want to know why? I have God's word on it. I have God's word on this, okay? So look at verse number 22 of Genesis chapter 8. Every eye on this. You should underline it. You should mark it somewhere. Here's what the Lord says. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. While the earth remaineth, that's all the word I need on so-called climate change, which is just a tool of the globalists to inflict some kind of control over an entire economy and ultimately over the entire world. I reject the idea of multiculturalism from that standpoint. If it is not truth, we reject it. We do not embrace it. We would preach against it and not tolerate. When society embraces multicultural beliefs above biblical truth, then darkness follows. So what am I going to do? I'm going to keep preaching the way that I preach. Number three. You ready for this one? This is Vision Sunday. What's my vision? To tell the truth to our community. Number three, we will continue to tell the truth about human sexuality. Look at Romans 1, verse 26. The Bible speaks of God giving up or giving over people. And because they have rejected truth, the Bible says, for this cause God gave them up, note these words, unto vile affections, vile forms of quote-unquote love or affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Our King James Bible is always very chaste in its presentation. It is very chaste. The words here are very cautious. The Greek language, that, by the way, the English words leave no doubt as to what the Apostle Paul is saying, and the Greek language is even more clear. God gave them up to vile affections, verse 27. If you didn't understand what's going on in verse number 26, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. It's important, I think, that we tell the truth on this issue. Now, I'm not saying this in order to be overtly political. Unfortunately, this has become political in a society that is confused about the most basic elements of human existence. In verse 24, we find the lust and dishonoring of the bodies. In verse 26, it's called vile affections. And then a description is given so that we are not left to wonder as to what he is saying. It is so interesting to me because I've had several younger Christian people approach me. There have been several books written now that make the claim, well, really, the Bible doesn't oppose the homosexual lifestyle. You are crazy. And yet there are several books that if a young person who doesn't know the scriptures well could read those books and come to the conclusion, perhaps those are things that other people just read into the text. I was on an airplane with the chairman of the sociology department of Duquesne University. We got into conversation, we're talking about things from the Bible, and he looked at me, he said, Pastor, he said, in reality, the Bible never speaks against homosexuality. I'm like, what? Now, he admitted that he had never read the Bible. And I happen to have my Bible. And I know, isn't that crazy? I happen to have my Bible. So I open it to Romans chapter 1, a King James Bible. And I said, read this. And I said, tell me what that's talking about. And he read it and he pondered it for about 10 seconds. Well, on the surface, it appears to be talking about homosexual activity. You don't have to go any deeper than the surface to see that. And it's God's condemnation of that within a list of other sins, by the way, other sins that God equally condemns. Now, why is this so important? Because it's important for us to not embrace the culture and the acceptance of something that God condemns. Does everybody follow what I'm saying here? Now, by the way, you, church, are never mean to anybody. And there are people who struggle with this and have problems with this and issues with this, as they do with every other sin, okay? And the bottom line is you're loving to them. You're kind to them. You try to help them. Do you know what? Christ is the answer for them. But it is not an appropriate answer to endorse a lifestyle that God condemns, whether it's homosexual, heterosexual, whatever it may be. There is no reasonable question about the Bible's condemnation of homosexuality. It was universally condemned among all the Jews of the New Testament era. We have extra-biblical writings to back that. Clearly condemned in both the Old and New Testament. What do we do as a church? We speak the truth in love. Listen, but we do speak the truth. We do speak the truth. We're not going to back up on this issue. Well, you know, Pastor, you know, there was a fellow, and I don't know all the detail, I caught it in the news, a councilman up somewhere in some northern city who had tweeted a couple things about this issue and about the Muslim issue. They read the tweets on the news. He had to resign as being a councilman. I guess I better never run for council, because I agreed with him. Okay, I agreed with him wholeheartedly. By the way, this thing of people pressuring you because they disagree with your position, that is as close to communism as America's getting. I may disagree with your position, but you have the right to say it. And if I say you have the right to say it, then I have the right to say my position as well. And the whole concept of freedom of speech means this: you do not have the right to not be offended. Not being offended is not a right in a free speech society. You may well be offended, but I grant the person who disagrees with everything I'm saying this morning, I grant them the same right to stand up publicly and to proclaim their truths as I'm enjoying from this pulpit this morning. They have that right, and I would not deny them that right. Because if that right is denied to them, it would be denied to me as well. The truth about human sexuality. Let me quickly hit this one. The truth about right thinking. Look at verse 28. I just have a minute here. Verse 28. The Bible says this: even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Knowledge is something that is part of the thought process. God gave them over, look at this word, to a reprobate mind. To a reprobate mind. Literally, it is a mind that does not work. Biblical thinking confirms and affirms the truth of God. Increasingly, biblical thinking is opposed by society at large. And when we express our adherence to biblical thinking, it is easy for us to find ourselves in conflict. Biblical thinking, however, is true, right, listen to this, and ultimately scientific. Huh? Scientific. The Bible's not a science textbook. But the Bible is scientifically accurate. For example, when the Bible in the book of Genesis says, male and female created he them, there was male and there was female, and there was no gender fluidity. None of that. There was just two. Ah, but Pastor Monty, you know, that was written a long time ago by Moses, and Moses didn't know the science. Oh, I'm so glad you brought up science. You know what? Your biological gender is an absolute determination of biology. I am foolish. Well, you know, Pastor Monty, you know, he's biologically from the chromosomes. He's a boy, but he wants to be a girl. Then that is a mental health issue. Okay? It is not a... Because the chromosomes... Listen to me. This is like 6th, 7th grade biology. Okay? The chromosomes make that determination. And the Bible has affirmed that as truth. And when we ignore biblical truth and turn our back on that, we start to embrace crazy. Because the reprobate mind fundamentally is the mind that does not work. And so we want to continue to preach the right thing about right thinking, how we think as a people. We're not going to give quarter to those who have embraced some kind of mental fantasy, which perhaps is a result of illness. We're not going to give quarter to them to direct the culture. We're not doing that. Do you know why? It's never a good idea to let the crazy people drive the bus. That's a pretty basic idea, pretty basic principle, right? It's never a good idea to do that. Those who reject God's truth take a major step, a primary step to mental instability. Do you know why that is? Because God is God and we are his creatures. and God has given us his truth. It is a way to mental instability. The reprobate mind is in conflict with the conscience. What do you mean, Pastor? The Bible later, we'll get into this book of Romans, God placed into every human being a conscience. The conscience condemns our activities. The reprobate mind, when it stops working, and the mind stops working properly, the reprobate mind becomes in conflict with the conscience. And then we have kind of this double thinking, and that causes instability. The reprobate mind is in conflict with common sense. And that's a struggle. If you're a boy, use the boys' room. If you're a girl, use the girls' room. Quit arguing about it. Ridiculous, ridiculous, ridiculous. And by the way, how dumb. I mean, how deep into the rejection of truth does a society need to come to get to the point where something that is so simple becomes so nuanced and complicated? See, right thinking is crystal clear thinking because it is based on the Bible. It is based on the Bible. The reprobate mind is also in conflict with God, and that creates tension within the mind. The reprobate mind, frankly, is in conflict with all truth. And I am not saying that this is the cause, but I think there is a causal effect here, that as we've watched anxiety and depression rise, especially among young people, we should consider at least the possibility that the rejection of God's truth and a seeking to replace that truth, turning the truth of God into a lie and worshiping and serving the creature more than the creator, a man-centered truth system, that tension is a result of the reprobate mind that really knows better but does not want to submit. Now, the Bible says God gave them over to a reprobate mind. There's a difference, I think, between a rebellious mind and a reprobate mind. A rebellious mind, and we've all had that, every person in this room, a rebellious mind acknowledges God's truth as truth, but then chooses to do the opposite. That's a rebellious mind, okay? God deals with that among believers, and that's a rebellious mind. But a reprobate mind rejects God's truth completely and then develops its own truth. And at that point, the mind can't possibly work properly. So, preacher, why talk about the truths that we're going to hold to? Well, number one, it's right in the passage of Scripture. But number two, it points us to this. Christ is the only answer. Now, you can spend the rest of your existence looking for an answer in psychology and looking for an answer in pop culture and looking for an answer in enjoyable and pleasurable experiences and looking for an answer in some kind of philosophy system or even energy. You can spend your whole life doing that. And I will tell you, if that is where you seek to find the answer, you will come up empty every time. But Jesus Christ is the answer. And the mission of this church is not to pretend. It's not to pretend we're not a church. Oh yeah, we're a coffee house. Nah, I love coffee, but we're not a coffee house. It's not to pretend we're a discotheque. Boy, whew, that was old. That was way anachronistic. It's not to pretend any of that. The truth, the mission of our church is to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, proclaiming him, by the way, not ourselves, okay, but proclaiming him as the answer. And if you're here this morning and you've never come to Christ, Jesus Christ is the answer, and you need him. And we're going to tell this community, and by the grace of God, this world, through our worldwide missions program, we're going to tell everyone that we can possibly reach that he is still the answer. And all this mess we talked about, God alone can straighten that out. Be part of the vision. Be part of the goal. See it for what it is and say, this is right, and I sign on to it. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the clarity of Scripture this morning on what should not be even mildly controversial topics, but have become so because our society has rejected biblical truth. Lord, for no reason should any Christian ever sign on to that rejection. We should never even tacitly endorse a rejection of your truth, but we should stand willing to make our case for what the Bible says. And then, Lord, if we're persecuted, well, we'll just suffer that persecution, but we should take our stand. Father, maybe someone is here today and they've struggled, maybe in areas we've talked about this morning, and you're speaking to their heart, the answer for that one or maybe several is in Christ. And I encourage them, Lord, please work in their heart, draw them to a saving knowledge of Christ. Help us as Christians to have a steel backbone when it comes to proclaiming the truth of the Word of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please, everyone.